Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. It's a book about one of the low points in the history of Israel. It's a time when people had turned away from God, experienced the invasion of the Babylonians, experienced many of their people being carried off into captivity. It was a low point, but it was a point at which the people reached out to God, for God was hope in the midst of their pain. I want us to remember as we kick off this most joyous of seasons that Advent is also a time to include for everyone our need to look at the pain in our lives and anticipate the hope that Christ brings to us this time of year. Before our service today, before I even walked into the building, I was met by two people sharing with me that they have significant fearful surgery experiences coming up this week. And we have had prayer already before the service even began. I remember also a grandfather, my grandfather, who lived by himself, who always said that the holidays were the saddest time of the year because he would go eat in restaurants by himself. And during the holidays, people would be with family and he would be by himself. Well, we fixed that all when my grandfather moved in with us and life changed for him radically. But I will never forget his sharing that the holidays were a hard time. There are many here. We are beginning the celebration of the season of Advent, the celebration of Christmas, and there are many who have lost loved ones during the holidays, experienced illness or surgeries during the holidays. And I want us to know that, like our reading this morning when the Advent candle was lit, Advent is a time to wait. During Advent, we wait in the light for the light in the darkness. We wait for freedom from captivity. We wait for comfort in sorrow. We wait for power in weakness. The Lord is inviting us to take all those hurts, all those pains, and bring them here, where in the presence of God we find hope. We find healing. We find the presence of God who can move us into the direction of finding fulfillment. With that, hear this passage this morning from Jeremiah. People experiencing very severe pain, military loss, being moved to other, forcefully being relocated, and all of that. Hear these words. And if you want to look it up in your pew Bibles, it's found on page 699. And I say that because when I get to the phrase righteous branch, the word branch is capitalized as a prophecy to the coming one who would be born Messiah and King of the world. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. There are many traditions of the church that we experience and have this time of year. One being the Advent wreath. What a rich experience that is, that We will follow each Sunday. The lighting of the candles as that moves us closer to the lighting of the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. The Advent candle, this began in 1839 by a Lutheran pastor who took a cart wheel, a wooden wheel from a cart, and he put actually 20 candles, red candles on it, representing the days of the week, and white candles representing Sundays. And with that, he used it for the purpose of lifting up missions and outreach of the church. And every day a candle will be lit. Well, that has transformed over the years into what we experience today. And even in different churches, sometimes they use different wording and combination. But the Advent candle, like the other traditions, helps us in our journey to understand and to experience the richness and all that the birth of Jesus means for us. Let us pray. Lord, on this day, we thank you. We thank you for your presence, for the Holy Spirit that is here, and for the knowledge that you know each one of us. And you are taking those pains of the past and bringing about healing a step at a time. And you are bringing about a new light of understanding, of salvation, that the good news of Christmas is that Jesus was born, God with us, so that our lives might be changed and made rich and full as we experience you. Lord, we begin our spiritual journey this day, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a little while ago, before the service started, Lori Wiggs, who's sitting in the very back row, came up here and was talking to my wife, Debbie. Lori is new to our church. She was a part of another church we used to be involved with. And Lori and Debbie were a part of a group called the Stroller Brigade. And when our daughter Megan was just born, a group of moms would meet at a mall and they would walk their babies and exercise themselves. And this group was called the Stroller Brigade. And interestingly for me, what has always happened in every church that we have served, Debbie would know the names of every single baby and child in the church, and I would know none of those. I would know the adults. I would know the administrative council and the staff, and I would know the parents. Debbie would know the babies and their names. And the reason that that is important today is because I am asking you as a congregation that during the season of Advent, we begin reading the Gospel of Luke. The stories in Luke for us are rich this time of year. Besides that, as Steve shared, we are beginning the new Christian year, and the Gospel of Luke is the gospel that will be highlighted the most during the Christian year. But let me make my point. I never knew the babies' names. I never would get the perspective of children. And now a lot of those babies are grown up, and Debbie still knows their names and so forth. The Gospel of Luke was written by a physician who, according to scholarship, had the benefit of others who had written about the life of Jesus, including Mary. Scholarship tells us, and whether it was direct or indirect, that Luke had Mary's story. And when we read the Gospel of Luke, we get the perspective of a mother. We get the perspective of family. We get the perspective of the Christmas story, including the perspective of Mary. Luke also had other writings, and we believe he had the Gospel of Mark that had been written by the time Luke wrote his piece. And Luke begins this way. Dear Theophilus, and again, we don't know exactly who that is. We think it's a leader, a governor, or something who became a Christian. Some say it could be just a general name that it means that the letter is addressed to everybody. But we believe it's to Theophilus. And Luke says this, I want to write to you a full and orderly account of all the things that have transpired so that you might understand why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe from the very beginning. So I want you to begin reading Luke during Advent. We started with Jeremiah for the reasons that I shared earlier. For God to begin to work in our lives, including those painful places. And then also including Luke, where we get the richness of the story of the birth of a baby. Luke was a physician. He wrote in detail. Luke was very intelligent. He was a scientist of the day, being a doctor. And he was a part of the well-educated of the day. In fact, they believed that Luke and the Apostle Paul really connected because they experienced higher education, philosophy, and openness of thought. And there was a kinship between the two because of their academic background. So read the story, the Gospel of Luke, knowing that it's written from that perspective of one who wants to capture the details and tell us the story of the birth of Christ and then the life of Jesus. And we will follow that during the Christmas year. I believe that's a good way for us to begin our journey of faith. It is a way for us to begin. The season of Advent is designed for that. It's designed for us to prepare our hearts for the celebration of Christmas. And we have to do things to prepare our hearts because we live in Arizona. And those who are visiting from other places, when you're in Arizona, there's not snow outside. And some of those things that might help us think about holidays, we look out and we see cactus and we have beautiful weather. And somebody said to me walking in the door, oh, those poor cardinals in Green Bay, it's 20 degrees and snowing. And for me, one way of preparing myself for Advent was coming down here with the worship committee and many volunteers from the church and helping hanging the greens. You do that, and we've done that at home because my daughter Megan said, hey, Mom, is it okay if I bring my sweet mates from the dorm at Grand Canyon and we want to have a little Christmas thing? So it meant we had to clean the house and put up the tree and put up the lights and all those things that bring memories. An ornament with Hannah's name on it from when she was just a little girl on the tree. A John Wayne ornament that Debbie's dad had, that was his favorite, that went on the tree. And with everything that we do, it gives us reminders and it prepares our hearts for the celebration of Christmas. I want to encourage all of you to use Advent as a time of preparation. And just one final word about what Advent is. It's a season of preparation. If you look in the Bible and look up Advent, you won't find it. It's not something the Bible tells us to do. It's one of those traditions. Like the Lutheran pastor who created the Advent wreath. Advent initially in the second and third centuries was a time of preparation for those new Christians who were going to be baptized. It was their time of spiritual preparation. It was a time for them to publicly proclaim that they were believers and had received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For a couple centuries, that's what the time of preparation before baptism evolved into in the next century, where they began to also think about the second coming of Christ. When you read Luke, when you study Scripture, you come to understand that Advent has a twofold purpose. One, to prepare us for the birth of Jesus, the celebration of Christmas, and his life. And secondly, to prepare us about those scriptures that talk about his second coming. In the second and third century, they prepared for baptism. Then in the fourth century, they included waiting for Christ to come back in the clouds. A twofold season. But for us, the beginning is today. A part of really understanding the story of the birth of Jesus is to understand why Jesus came. Why God so loved the world that he would send his son, and that Jesus' life would culminate with the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, which means for us that there are no more rituals of sacrifice for forgiveness anymore. There is only Jesus, whose ultimate sacrifice means for us that those pains that have been in our lives, those hurts that have afflicted us, can finally be put at the foot of the cross. And we can say, Lord, take them. Help us. Let the healing begin. Let that process take place this season.